Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone, and we're here at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Paris-Lexington Road. It's the Paris Pike in Fayette County and the Lexington Road in Bourbon County.
Yes, it is.
But, and it's really the Simon Kenton Highway, isn't it?
Oh, I know. That's what that sign says.
Yeah. Is your mic on?
I don't know. Is it?
I'm just barely hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ooh, turn it down where I can barely hear. I like that better.
That's what he does at home.
Yeah, right.
I think it's called ignoring me at home.
Yeah, you know, I wish that mute button would work on more things besides the TV.
That mute button is the most work button on the remote.
Yeah,
I
really love that mute button. Well, let's see. We're here at the clocker stand as usual, and the track's sloppy this morning. And I was a little bit surprised that it was.
I don't think it's been so chilly, being the second day of fall and all. I don't think things are evaporating a whole lot. Well, and it was so foggy this morning. Stuff's not going to evaporate in the fog.
We didn't have a whole lot of Bourbon County coming from home this morning. It was really foggy until I got within a couple of miles of here, and it wasn't foggy here.
Oh, surprising.
So it was okay.
We had a rainbow too. I noticed coming in off to the west.
Well, that's behind me, so I didn't get to see that one.
Yeah, wouldn't want to turn around.
Yeah, the sun now is creeping over toward the getting. To the the
coming up over
three and
the,
a half furlong pole over there,
yeah.
And it'll end up over in the
way. It's halfway to winter.
Yeah. But anyway, we had pretty busy, about 40 works this morning, and you know, but not buried like we can get up here. And we had a pretty good night last night. We had 5 winners out of here. And I see I've written down the wrong. Well, somebody's changed the page on me here. Somebody's been reading my notes.
Some rat. I thought you had 4 winners.
It was 5 winners last night.
Oh.
Yeah. We had, we've had 11 since the last show and 43 winners so far this month. And we've got another week to go.
A week, 7 more. Well, counting today, 7
well, of course
more days.
Yeah, well, you have to count today. They're running this afternoon, you know.
That's true.
Anyway,
especially at Turfway.
The trainers of those 11 winners since last week, Jacob Klabes, and I believe that was Jake's first winner.
Yeah, his daddy's trainer.
His father is Gene Klabes.
Yes.
And they own a farm out in Centerville, right by, on 460.
Yes.
Pretty place, you know, the place, Jackie, with
the little pond.
The pond right in front. You know,
yes.
Anyway, that's where
they can walk right down to the Centerville store anytime they get hungry.
Yeah, there you go. let's see then, who else? He won at Turfway. Adolfo Marcias, better known as everybody as Lucas. Everybody calls him Lucas. I don't know. He won with Kit Dandu down in Kentucky Downs. And that same day, John Gaver III. One with High Alpine, and of course his granddaddy was John's granddaddy was a Hall of Fame trainer, and his father was a very good trainer too. They both trained for Green Tree.
Yeah.
Anyways, granddaddy trained Tom Fool, and his daddy trained Stage Door Johnny. So you know they were
good.
I hope John's an awful nice guy. Tommy Mills. Trained a winner down at Mountaineer, Lady on Fire. Jim Dodgen went up to Presque Isle and won. Oscar Modica won with Satoon. And where did Oscar win? He won at Turfway that same day. No, these are last night. The next 5 are last night. Alan Crupper won at Turfway. Amalio Paul Garcia, everybody calls him Paul. His dad is Amalio. They're both Amalios, but this is Paul. He won last night at Turfway. Jimmy Cargan won at Mountaineer last night. Mark Hubley won at Mountaineer last night. And Don Combs, our resident Kentucky Derby trainer, won up at Hoosier with a horse that he bred, owns, and trains named Don's Prophet.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Maybe he turned a
he spells
prophet.
It P-R-O-F-I-T-T. Why would he put 2 T's in prophet?
I don't know.
Just to throw the clocker off when I turn them into equitation, they won't take the work. That's why.
Fooled you.
So anyway, it's been a pretty good week for us. The record, of course, so far since I've been doing this is 60 works in July. Then we had 50
winners. Yes,
60 winners
from here.
And three stakes winners that month. And then we in August we had 58 winners and one stakes winner. And was that stakes winner this month? That was this month, wasn't it? Yeah, that was
Rahi Strada.
Rahi Strada in the Grade 3 Kentucky Cup Turf Stakes.
Yeah.
I asked Scooter Hughes trains Rahi Strada. I asked him what he was going to do with him next, and he told me, and now I can't remember. Why did I bring it up? I can't remember. But I don't think he's really decided where he's going to run him next. But,
yeah.
They're going to aim.
He's getting real close to a million.
He's won over $940,000 now.
Ooh.
Yeah. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Starting from scratch. Wow. What are we going to do today? That's a pretty good. We kind of left hung out to dry today.
Yeah, boy.
I was going to have Kathy Wadsworth on, but I just got word that earlier this morning Chris McCarron came over and told me that she couldn't make it. And he let me know that just about an hour ago. And she is the barn manager for the North American Racing Academy, Chris McCarron's outfit. And I don't know why she can't come, but she can't, so that's the way it goes.
Here comes Michael.
And Dr. Byers is out of town. And I called Dr. Dwayne Markham to see if he could fill in. And so far... I called him on Thursday, and so far he hadn't returned my call.
Maybe he's trying to tell you something.
Maybe he's trying to tell me something that is right. Michael Blowen's here, and he's walking up as we speak. And I'm going to nail old Steve Moody today. They're running five stakes down at Turfway today. It's a big day down at Turfway, of course, and I'd like him to handicap the three graded stakes. The Windstar Kentucky Cup with a $200,000 pot, the Grade 3 Distorted Humor, Kentucky Cup Distaff with a $100,000 pot, the Grade 3 Spitestown Kentucky Cup Sprint with a $100,000 pot, the Bluegrass Cat Kentucky Cup Juvenile, $100,000, and the Tisnow Kentucky Cup Juvenile Fillies with $100,000. That's great racing. Great racing. And let's see. They're running the Gallant Bloom. The Gallant Bloom is the feature up in New York today. And Gallant Bloom, of course, was a gallant man filly, brilliant filly that raced for King Ranch. And just so happens that at Philadelphia, although it's not the feature, Pennsylvania Derby is the feature up there today. But they're running the Gallant Bob, who's by Gallant Romeo, who's by Gallant Man. So that was... we're going to talk a little bit about those two horses, Gallant Bloom and Gallant Bob, and Jackie's announcements. And I'm probably going to read a whole lot of Joe Palmer today to fill in from the guest that spit out the bit, and Doc, who's gone to a wedding. And Michael, how are you this morning?
I'm good, Ursula. How are you?
I'm doing real good.
Beautiful day here at the training center.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I tell you what,
the sun.
I came in, it was chilly out there early. And I had
foggy and chilly and everything else, but it's nice now.
Nice now.
Well, I set up at during the break. They renovate the track between 8 and 8:30. And I'd stayed inside all morning because, hell, it was cold on these old bones. So I went out, the sun was shining, it felt so good, and I set up outside and we didn't know sooner started clocking, and here came the clouds, you know. Froze my hiney off again. But that's
still a little damp out there.
It is.
It is.
My friend Tim Wilson, who's a trainer here, has one horse with his brother, Nick Newman, and his wife Jackie. They have a horse named Kelsey Drive, and she finished second last night at Turfway Park.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay.
Good.
So Ursula can do the ones that won. I'll just do the ones that place. You know, it's
the ones
kind
that
of our relationship.
That you boxed.
It's kind of our relationship.
Let me get back to you here in a second. We're going to do a commercial or two, and then we're going to talk to Michael Blowen, who I do believe is going down to my our hometown down there, Jackie's today.
Yes, sir. Can't wait. Going down there to Bourbon County, go to the Secretariat Festival.
Of course. Absolutely.
Reba Wade, one of our horses, has already made the trip. He's down there. Sally Vance brought him down there.
Oh yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Who'd you send?
Reba Way, because he's a Reaver Ridge.
Rich. That's
and,
very
and
appropriate.
And he's by Tinner's Way. So he's got Secretariat on his sire's side, and he's got Reaver Ridge on the mother's side.
There you go.
That's Chinnery breeding, isn't
it? That is.
Yeah. Well, last Saturday, Woodbine, a grade 3, $200,000 Natalma Stakes, was won by Northern Passion, a two-year-old filly by First Samurai. Northern Passion came from dead last in the field of 12 to win going away by a length and a quarter, and what was just her third career start. First start on the grass. She won her career debut on Woodbine's Artificial, then was narrowly beaten in the $150,000 Ontario Damsel Stakes, which was also on Artificial. A win in the Natalma was a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. Northern Passion is from the second crop by Samurai. The sire of 4 stakes winners in his first crop. Grade 2 stakes winner in grade 1 place Justin Phillip. Grade 3 stakes winner Lemme Go. Winner September the 15th of an allowance race at Belmont. Stakes winner in graded stakes place Swift Warrior and multiple stakes place winner Trubbs. Well, he's a multiple stakes winner, I should say, Trubbs. First Samurai won 2 grade 1 stakes at 2, won grade 2 stakes at 3, earned over $915,000, and he is the son of the nation's leading sire, Giants Causeway. Stands at Claiborne Farm, inquires to Bernie Sams, and see the website at claibornefarm.com. Well, today's your last chance to purchase a yearling from a farm that has produced 6 champions and such top-class stakes winners as the recent grade 1 stakes winner, The Factor, and the recent grade 3 stakes winner, Northern Causeway, Indian Creek. Just go to Barn 49 for a close look at the Indian Creek yearlings. You'll find a filly from Street Heroes, first crop, out of a graded stakes producer. A colt by Fusa Ichi Pegasus, out of a graded stakes producer. A colt by Henny Hughes, the first foal, out of a daughter of a grade 1 stakes winner. A Rock Hard 10 colt, another first foal, out of a daughter of a grade 1 stakes winner. A filly by City Zip. She's a full sister to the undefeated multiple graded stakes winner, Run and Hide. And a colt from the first crop by Run and Hide, a graded stakes winner at Saratoga and Churchill at 2. And this one's out of a stakes class daughter of More Than Ray. There's also a filly by Political Force from the family of Kentucky Derby sire Leroy DeSantimo. And a colt by Yes It's True out of a winning half-sister to 2 stakes winners. And, of course, not too late to ensure your purchases with one of the oldest and most respected firms in the nation, the Clay Ward Agency in Paris, Kentucky. The number there is 987-1861. Indian Creek, selling the world's finest thoroughbreds. The Clay Ward Agency, insuring the world's finest thoroughbreds. With September 11 in Canada, John's Golden Run, a two-year-old from the first crop by Bob and John, won the Grade 1 Buffalo Stakes, coming from 5 lengths back at the 8th pole, one going away by a length and a quarter. John's Golden Run is one of 5 winners from the first crop by Bob and John. And another 4 of place. All 4 of those, incidentally, placed in their very first starts. So his 2-year-olds have won a place in Maryland, at Lone Star, at Monmouth Park, at Calder, Del Mar, Laurel, Delaware, Woodbine. They're hitting the board wherever they're asked to run. That they're showing run at 2 is a good sign because Bob and John, while he was an excellent 2-year-old, placing in Grade 1 stakes, he went on to win graded stakes at 3 and 4, including the Grade 1 Wood Memorial, on his way to earning over $996,000. Bob and John, a son of Seeking the Coal, and the graded stakes winner Minister's Melody by Deputy Minister, stands at Pin Oak Stud with the stallions Broken Vow, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. Inquiries at Clifford Barry and see the website at pinoakstud.com. The new Friends calendar is out already.
Man,
yep. You got it out early this year.
Well, we're working on it. Sylvia and Katie Barrett, everybody did a fabulous job on the calendar again this year. The pictures are amazing. And
look at that.
That's Little Silver Charm, and that's...
I saw that. Isn't that cute?
That's Susie Oldham's granddaughter.
Is it?
Who's named McCarran.
Oh, my goodness.
They named her after Chris, and she's in the front of the calendar with Little Silver Charm just telling them what to do and how to handle it.
I tell you, that's the cutest picture in the whole...
That is good. I love these calendars.
McCarran set a record because she's the only human ever allowed in one of our calendars.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but there's some really... The people did a great job, really, really great job on it this year, and the horses are absolutely gorgeous. And
what was the horse that was in the last calendar? They had a picture of him just leaping up in the air. He was all 4 feet off the ground.
I think that was Karakoram Patriot. He's up in New York.
No, it wasn't either.
We got the old calendar here somewhere.
It's over there on the wall. It's on that wall. I get it.
Jackie runs the crack Ursula Ellis Research Department, and she's gone over there to the wall to get the thumbtack out so we can...
Now here's Tenor's Way.
Look it up. Yep.
Yeah, it looks just... I love these calendars. That's a good one.
Popcorn Special Delights Ring and Special Popcorn Ring. Delights, yep. Now we have Popcorn Delights Sire, Afternoon Delights.
I didn't realize he was playing. In marquetry, with all his flashy self.
Yeah, he is flashy. He knows it, too.
Yeah.
He is.
Karakoram Patriot.
Karakoram Patriot there, Mr. Ursula Ellis.
Okay, you were right.
You know, it so seldom happens.
Yeah, well, seldom, but I'll admit it.
And so there's a really nice article about Hidden Lake in the Blood Horse today, in the Blood Horse this week.
Really?
Yep. It's all about how we got him and everything else, but he didn't mention that you're the one who's responsible for it.
Oh, I knew you was going to leave me out.
I didn't leave you out.
Yeah, I knew you were going to. It was all a plot.
So sources close to old friends called him up and said something like that.
Is this a clock or stand copy?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. I think I've got one at home, too, on my desk, don't I?
A new one?
No, not a new one. No. No, but I'm going to get one.
There you go. There's the new one. That's the old one. When you get to be a certain age, I guess years kind of meld together. You can't even tell the ones that haven't even started yet.
Yeah. And you don't I'm up it. On 1957, though.
I'm telling you, you better be a deep closer.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Well, you're... What are you going to do? I know they want the horse down there.
Well, they don't need me down there. No, we have Kent's down there with the horse. One of our great volunteers, Val Mulgrave's with them, and Nick Newman's with them. So they're doing fine without me, believe me. And I'm just going to come in and walk around, and I'm going to enjoy myself.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We went last year. It was fun.
It's a lot of fun. They do a great job. Jim does a fabulous job. I mean, there's a lot of entertainment around. You get to see a lot of people that you haven't seen in a while. It's really like a homecoming. So it's a wonderful event, and we're really grateful to everyone there in Claiborne and every place else that have invited us back year after year, and we really appreciate
it. Better be grateful to Sally Vann holding that horse.
I should. I know. Man, I get down on my knees every night and thank Sally Vann. Believe me, it's unbelievable. And I'm told that Charlie, who is Secretariat's exercise rider, is going to come over to the old friends and see Tenor sometime today or tomorrow.
Oh, well, that's good.
If anybody wants to come over for a tour, it's a fabulous day, and Beth and Barbara are holding down the fort over there. And we have tours at 10, 1, and 3 today. And if you can't make it during those times, just call up and I'll show you around.
Yeah.
A little later.
Is that what happens?
Well, it's after 4 o'clock, it's beer time, so I don't really care. We can just walk around, drink beer, and have fun.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like the pick of the day to me.
He's going to do that whether you show up or not.
Exactly. I go on my own tour. Yeah. It's quite a trip.
Yeah. Oh, my.
But the Secretariat Festival is great. It's a great event today. And then on October 17th, which is a Monday, a dark day at Keeneland, we're having our Hall of Fame Day at the farm. We're going to have a memorial tribute to Skipaway. We reinterred Skipaway from Hopewell Farm with permission of Rick Trance. We're very grateful to Rick and also of Carolyn Hine, and Carolyn's going to try and make it to the event, too. Carolyn, of course, owned Skipaway, and since Hopewell Farm is for sale, they were a little concerned that, if it got sold, people wouldn't be able to visit the grave, maybe, and we have that one designated area now at the farm that's the official cemetery for the Hall of Fame. So Skipaway will join Noor in that hallowed ground.
Oh, there's quite a few buried. Who else is in there now?
Well, those are the two in the Hall of Fame cemetery, but we have our own cemetery for the old friends' horses.
Isn't Precisionist in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he is, but he's already buried in our farm.
Yeah.
Our part of it, so. Our adjunct cemetery.
Well, still, that's,
it's three Hall of Famers.
That's three Hall of Famers right there, yeah. Well, he was a
That's not including you when the time comes. You can join the Hall of Famers, don't you think, Jackie?
Oh, I think so, anytime.
Because he's going to outlive all of us. What am I talking about? It's unbelievable.
I don't know about that.
But that's the 17th, and that night we're having a really nice party at Nick Nick Ryan Saloon down on Jefferson Street.
Oh, yeah,
Street.
I heard
it's going to be
that.
Great. We got...
What was the date of this again?
17th, October 17th.
That picked my head up a little bit.
Yeah, it's barbecue and beer.
Hey, there we go.
And we're going to have a barbecue sauce contest, best barbecue sauce.
Now, really?
Yes.
Are they, is Nick's doing the barbecue?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you had another barbecue outfit over there that was great.
Yeah. This is the, you know, Central Kentucky, you can find the best barbecue in the world.
And amazing, yeah. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Tommy Walters has done barbecue for us at the farm. For Stacks, that's a place that he owns with Dan Liebman. But this is going to be very, very interesting because Don and Barb, the people that own Nick Ryan's, are going to put on a great, great show.
And where is Stacks that Dan owns a piece
in of? Frankfort.
In Frankfort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I remember Dan when he went to work for the racing farm.
I'll tell you something. Dan did a great job the other night. They had a special tribute to Jerry and Ann Moss about a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago now, at UK. And Dan was the moderator. And he asked very, very good questions. And he let them talk. And it was a wonderful evening. And if you haven't ever gone to those distinguished lecture series they have at UK in this College of Agriculture, you should go because they're really, really good. Nick Nicholson was there one night. And he gave a great talk. I mean, they're really good.
Mm-hmm. When, yeah.
And they're freer, so it's just up your alley.
Yeah, I'm for that.
Valet parking, that makes it all work.
Yeah, that's the only difficult part. You got to go in the back somewhere and
park.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
When I left the Daily Racing Form, Logan Bailey took over. He hired Dan.
Huh.
Uh-huh. So, and that's where I first time I met him. So that was way back in the early 80s. That I left everyone to Jackie of 84, somewhere around in there.
I'm not good at numbers. I don't remember.
Well, let me remind you, we've been married 29, going on 30 years.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
She won't. Yeah, that's why she can't remember numbers.
Oh, my.
The only ones he can really remember is the buyer speed figures.
That's it. That's the truth. And average earnings index.
I do look at that a lot.
Uh-huh. Told you.
I very seldom look at the buyers.
I do, too. I don't look at them much either.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I could probably be a better handicapper if I paid more attention to them. It just, I don't know. Just the numbers people. It's like this movie coming out, Moneyball. You know, it's all about the Oakland A's and Brad Pitt plays Billy Bean, who came up with this statistical way to look at baseball. It's
really?
Totally detached from the old guys who look at the ball players and actually see him play baseball. And he did it all statistically. So
really?
That's what I think of the buyer figures. You know, the buyer figures, it's all statistics, and you miss a lot of the story if you're just looking at the numbers.
Right, exactly.
I ran into a guy one time at Saratoga, and he's a nasty little man. I won't tell you who it was. But I ran into him one day at Saratoga, and I told him that we just got one of his horses that a horseback from Japan, and how happy we were and how excited we were. And his response was, that damn horse cost me the pick six in the Breeders' Cup.
Oh.
And I said, well, you know, is that all? It's about just the numbers? He goes, yes.
Is that right?
Okay, fine.
Oh, yeah.
I guess if you miss the pick six by one horse, it might be about those numbers. I mean, he didn't say, you know, a dollar sign before the numbers, they might be a little more significant.
Oh.
Is this a well-known guy?
Yes.
Let me guess.
Well, I'll tell you next week.
Okay.
Tune in next week.
Right.
Ursula goes over the cliff on the horse, but don't worry.
Oh, well, we're going to be on early next week, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Football next week?
Yeah. There's going to be a track meet out there tonight.
Holy mackerel.
You know who they play next week? Are you ready for this? LSU.
Wow. Florida, LSU. Wow.
Wow.
Yikes.
Right.
Well, at least they'll fill out the exacta.
So we're on next week.
Well, I know
week
who's on the bottom half of that.
Exactly.
That's what I mean.
Exactly. Even I got that one.
Look at old Rusty over here flinching. Rusty's a big blue. Well,
I know he does.
He bleeds blue. You know?
I know, but you've noticed something about his shirt today. It's a UK color, but it doesn't say UK on the front. He's gradually trying to get out of it.
It does. There is a UK on there.
Oh, every game matters. I forgot about
it. Sure,
oh, that's too bad.
That is pathetic.
Thank God for Jackie.
I'm sorry.
Uh-oh.
I thought this year we'd just pick and go.
It matters the 14th.
Please.
Yeah, there we go. They're all ready for the basketball season. They cannot wait.
I know.
It would be great. They should play football Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then the whole season will be over in 1 week, and then we can get on to the more important stuff.
Yeah.
When they start talking about Big Blue Madness, and there's just started the football season, it's bleak.
You know it's a bad year already. Well, First Defense is one of 13 Grade 1 stakes winners by Alan Bridle Song, the son of classic winner and classic sire and bridle, Sire of Sires. The Dam of First Defense is a Grade 1 stakes winner by the great Sire of Sires, Seattle Slew. And she is a half-sister to classic winner and successful sire, Empire Maker, and also to the top sire, Chester House. This is the family of the brilliant Grade 1 stakes winner and broodmare of the year, Toussaint. It's a pedigree brimming with successful sires and classic performance, a genetic masterpiece. Now add to the mix the fact that First Defense had brilliant speed. The day he won the Grade 1 four go, he turned in early fractions of 44-3 and 108-2, sprinted 7 furlongs and 120 and change at Belmont, and 122-1 at Churchill, and his final time for the Grade 1 four go at Saratoga was 121-2. He also won around 2 turns, and 1 on grass and 1 on dirt. So First Defense was a superior runner, lived up to his pedigree. His pedigree is also loaded with successful sires, and the quality of his foals are a good indication that he will live up to his pedigree there also. For more information, contact Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry at Judmont Farm. Well, close associates of McCauley Brothers had another productive weekend of racing last week. Winter Memories, winner of the Grade 1 Garden City Stakes at Belmont, was bred by the Phillips Racing Partnership, and of course, that means she was raised over at Darby Dan Farm. At Woodbine, the winner of the Grade 2 Canadian Stakes, Never Retreat, was bred by Jerry O'Meara and Stanley Inman. The Queen Tutta Stakes at Belmont was won by Instab, bred by Payson Stud. And Don't Get Suspicious, one of the Pink Ribbon Stakes, was bred by Dr. Gary Priest and Mr. and Mrs. J.D. Santon. Congratulations to all from their friends at McCauley Brothers, long the leader in the field as the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. The success of those who patronize McCauley Brothers gives testimony to the quality of the McCauley products. And the folks at McCauley Brothers are proud to be associated with many of the world's finest horsemen. To join the winning team, call Steve Baker or Mike Warren, 873-3333, or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. You're always welcome. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, Kipling is sire of the winners of stakes at Belmont, Monmouth, Santa Anita, the Fairgrounds, Keeneland, Louisiana Downs, Lone Star, Gulfstream, Tampa Bay, Arlington Remington, Hawthorne. He's sired a winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile. Starters earn an average of some $60,000. He's done this with little support from breeders early in his career. His average earning index is an outstanding 1.70, while the comparative index, now that's a figure that measures the quality of foals produced from the same mares by other stallions, is a feeble 0.82. Those are figures to keep in mind if you want a runner in your racing stable. Kipling is a proven sire of superior runners. Kipling's a full brother to the Grade 1 stakes winner Court Vision, who goes to stud at Spencery Farm next year. By Gulch, at a weekend storm, a half-sister to champion sire AP Indy. With a pedigree like that, Kipling could hardly miss. Stands at Crestwood Farm. Inquires to Pope McLean. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com. Talking about Kipling, Hill Parker has got a two-year-old out here. I think he's two. He's either two or three. Anyway, he hadn't run but twice. And he's by Kipling, and he named him Rudyard Kay.
Great.
That's how I was thought.
Yeah, that's cute.
He's literary reference.
Yeah, it took him to Ellis. He's an Ohio bred. And he took him to Ellis Park, and he ran fourth first time out. And then he went up to Thistle Downs with him, and he won, broke his maiden up there just a couple of weeks ago. I've got it written down over here somewhere. But anyway. And he was out here today breezing him, and his dad was here watching. He didn't breeze him. He just galloped him. But I believe he's got the best broke horses in the world.
Oh, yeah, he does. He's an old pony clubber.
He doesn't stable here. He ships in. And so he brings his trailer up and parks it right behind us here. He's got a big, six-horse trailer, I guess, or at least four.
Like that.
A big one. That's a big rig.
Yeah.
And, you know, he leads these things off.
With a rope shank.
With a rope shank, and he tacks them up right out here.
Ties them to the side of the trailer, just like he's going fox hunting or something.
Yeah, nice.
And this was Rudyard K. you had here this morning.
Yeah.
And then he pulls him over, and, of course, there's a loading place there, you know, a place where vans back up to where they can load. He walks the horse up to it. He gets up on the ship, steps down on the horse.
And off they go.
Yeah, and they amble off, you know.
Yeah, on the end of
that's
the...
That's great.
Now,
yeah,
when he was standing...
Rides on the buckle.
When he used to stable out here and had more horses, and he had a paddock leased back up behind barn, the big old barn up there, barn 30.
Yeah.
And he'd come up there, he'd go get them and lead them two at a time. With rope shanks.
Right.
And they just walk along until...
Wild, crazy, and St. Thoroughbreds, you know how they are. Yeah,
I don't know what he does.
What stereotyping that is.
Yeah. He's just good.
I don't know how he does it. I know how we'd have to do it. I'd have to give him about 4 cc's of ace. You know? But anyway, I'm sure he doesn't do that because he comes right here and breezes them, you know, and then he gets on most of his horses himself, except when he really breezes one, he gets...
Well, and when they're turned out a lot, it's a whole different world.
Yeah.
You can lead them around like that. That's.
I believe he keeps them now. He owned the place up here that, the new vet place up here.
Park on, Hospital.
Park Hospital, you know. That was his place that the vets bought and made a.
I think they have another farm somewhere, though.
No, he keeps them on Rosemont Farm, which is right,
oh,
next,
okay.
Right next door to it. Yeah.
That's a nice piece of property.
It is.
It's really nice there.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, he's in the real estate business, you know. Hill is, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Boy, I'm telling you.
Better be in a damn...
Iron's in the fire.
You better be in some kind of other business if you're in the thoroughbred business and you're not...
I know, but the sale's been great.
And this...
Sale's been good.
You know, when you go to the sale and the buyers and the sellers are both smiling, you know things must be going a little
good
bit
better. Good sign. Yeah. Good sign.
And there were a lot of people there. And the other thing was a lot of different countries there now, too. It's not just a couple of people bidding. Not just Coolmore betting at Sheikh Mohammed.
For the big ones? Mm-hmm. Well, no, there's a lot of people from this country buying.
That's right. But there were people from Korea, a big group from Korea. And sometimes they don't get the horses, so you don't see them mentioned. But they certainly drive the bidding up.
That's great. Yeah, I saw that they had bought some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a guy up here this morning that was trying to buy all week, and he ended up, he said, I gave up. He said he bought one.
Really?
Yeah, he says anything he wanted, you know, it was just gone, you know. He had a limited budget.
Right.
Yeah. Did you go out much, Mike?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I go out there and bother people. I hope not.
Here he comes.
Watch out, here he comes.
Hat in hand.
Yeah.
I don't beg for money there. I say it's D class A to go to Keeneland at the sale and beg for money. I just stand there and hope that somebody will come up and say nice things to me.
Well, stand there with that jacket.
It sometimes happens.
Yeah, right.
It's not often, but
you're like a walking billboard.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. And I don't even have to pay for it. But, yeah, the sale was nice. Ran to a lot of great people there. I saw Ian Wilkes there yesterday, and you know, Lucas was there earlier in the week, and people are going to come to the farm. So it was really, really nice. Brian Burns, a wonderful guy. He owns Mount Joy Stable. He's got a couple of nice horses. Mm-hmm. But he's the one who donated the names Jimmy to us.
Oh.
You know, he came to the farm the other day, and I guess Jimmy's now, I think he's 23.
Is he?
He had a stakes win about 2 weeks ago.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah.
Wonder who he named that horse after. Do you know?
Yes.
Who?
Well, it's funny you should ask. This show is unrehearsed, and yet it seems to flow so easily.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Let's go. We're all full of it.
Yes, I do.
You know what's flowing.
Ooh, I need to know.
Go ahead.
Well, Brian and his father was a haberdasher in Chicago, worked for Hart, Schaffner, and Marks.
Okay.
Very, very good tailor. And a lot of people that really wanted very nice clothes would come to him, and he'd hand make them a suit.
Wow.
And every time somebody would come in, they'd say, you know, Mr. Burns, I'd like a suit. He said, well, first of all, the name's Jimmy.
Okay.
So he and his father, the first horse they ever bought together was the name's Jimmy.
Oh, that's
great.
Well,
he was a runner. Mm-hmm. He was a good racer.
He still does. Yeah. He runs against commentator every day.
Yeah, well, the purses are lousy out there, I'll tell you.
I don't know. They get carrots at the end. They run pretty fast for carrots. It's more than they ever got when they were racing.
He was by a horse named Encino.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of speed breeding there.
Yeah, he's a good-looking chestnut, big flashy chestnut.
Well, that was... The horse came around right after Jimmy Dryman died, and people were wondering if he wasn't named after Jimmy.
Because Jimmy always
Dryman.
Introduced himself that way.
The name's Jimmy.
Well, yeah. Tell him now. Who cares?
Jimmy was
no,
great.
Really, that makes him happy. You know, the interesting thing is, you know, we have Gulch and Marquetry and Commentator and all these wonderful great horses at the farm. And do you know, I think we sell more hats with the name Jimmy on it because everybody comes on the trip, his name is Jimmy, buys a hat.
So oh, of course they do. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. What a good idea.
Yeah, the name's Ursel. We're going to name our next horse. The name's Ursel.
You won't sell many of those.
I don't know. I think we would. I think you have a lot of fans.
I was going to suggest that you pin up a bunch of them and say the name's Bill, and then some of these things out there, nobody knows any different, you know.
You can tell he's been in Kentucky a long time. Yeah. Really. It's like,
oh, funny.
It's like he's selling Man of War shoes out of the back of the bar.
Yeah, right.
If I thought I'd get away with it.
Oh, boy. But things have been going really good, and the horses have been going. Oh, and we also now have a pet pheasant in the back.
We have a
pheasant who lives in, he alternates between Tinnerway's paddock and Williamstown's paddock.
You feed it?
Mm-hmm. Well, he likes the, he comes up in the bowl and eats the rest of the horse.
Oh. Food.
Jackie, if I still got that old 12 gauge.
Not our little red-headed pheasant. So now in the last couple of, and then I saw a fox a couple of weeks ago. Good-looking fox.
Yeah. He's after the pheasants.
He's after the rabbits, the little rabbits.
Got rabbits?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's
yeah, we have a lot of things
zoo.
You never know what you're going to see on a tour. It's like horse country safari.
You just get in there,
please, close your windows. Please, don't put your hands out. You might get bitten by
rabbits and pheasants.
Yeah, scary.
Deer.
I'm afraid. I'm very afraid.
The only thing that anybody's afraid of, and this is funny because it's all based on how old you are. We have a huge rat that lives in the barn.
Ooh.
And he just won't leave. I mean, he's huge, right? So all the older women hate this rat. I mean, they just see that rat, and it sends chills on their body. But for the kids, it's like the hit of the whole tour.
You're
oh, my God,
kidding.
Did you see that? That was fabulous.
You are Ooh. Kidding.
What?
A Ooh, rat. I'm, where are your cats?
I'd rather be around.
The rat's bigger than the cats. Yeah. They're smart. Our cats are smart. They're not fooling around with this rat.
We've got three barn cats at home. They pick it.
This rat is so immune to human beings that he often has his little front legs up on the top of one of the water buckets just eating water out of it, and he looks up at you and he continues to eat the water. And then when he's done, he leaves.
Oh, you, another rat. Just another rat.
Rat rescue. Oh, that'll go over big. Hello,
oh, yeah.
Would you like to donate $5? We'll sell you a share in a rat.
I'm surprised those people over at Summer Wind, she hadn't rehabilitated it to the wild.
Oh, you've got to go on her website. She has a baby pig.
Oh, does she?
And Jane Lyon we're talking about, and Karen Bailey, the mother and daughter over at Summer Wind Farm. And Jane, of course, has all those fabulous mares over there. She sold a horse, I think it's $500,000 at the sale.
Oh, that'll buy some feed for
anyway,
you.
Anyway, she found Jane now is in love with the pig. She comes over and bottle feeds it.
Oh,
every day,
funny.
And does all that stuff with the pig. And now she's convinced, I guess, that the pig needs company. So I think she's in the market for another baby pig. They got an otter.
Yeah, nice otter do they
there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There's a zebra named Ziggy.
Oh, this is on Summer Wind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That corner of Scott County is really going to be. What?
Is that a rescue, the zebra?
I'm not sure what happened about the zebra. I know Jane saw it at some horse show.
Oh.
Somewhere, and I don't know what happened, but she ended up with the zebra.
Yeah.
Probably got it out of Grand Prairie somewhere. But
I told her we could put it across the street and tell it was in racing stripes.
There you go. Oh, see, now that's a great
champion
name.
Zebra.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
What do you call a rat, Michael?
It's never done. Yeah, really. Fine.
What is
I like
what
that
does
rat.
Diane so call it? Michael, you rat.
Diane calls it Yikes.
Oh, Yikes.
That's
there was a horse named Yikes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was by him. Out of a halo mare named
what? Oh, that's right. That's a.
We haven't gotten to 1958 yet. That's why I don't know.
Oh, I'll tell you what. It was a half brother.
Out of Haunt.
It was a half brother to our filly.
Yeah,
that's a good name. Haunt.
Half sister. Yeah.
Yeah.
Haunt and Yikes. That's a good.
Yeah.
That was a good name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was.
I think
real
that's
good.
Arthur's wife named that one.
Oh no, they raised for somebody else. Arthur sold it. Arthur bred it though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, by wagon limit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. Well, he won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile and won 33-1. He won the Grade 1 Don Handicap on the Dirty Gulfstream. He won the Windy Sands Handicap at Del Mar. He earned $1,328,230. His sire earned over $3 million, and his sire two millionaires. His dam won nearly $100,000, and his by sire's 49er. His second dam won Grade 1 stakes. Produced champion, and a Group 1 stakes winner, King Charlemagne. Group 3 stakes winner, Misha Here, and his grand dam of Here Comes Ben, winner the Grade 1 four-goal at Saratoga. His name is Albertus Maximus, and he's to stand the 2012 season at Shadwell Farm free to approve mares. And be sure to talk to stallion manager Ken Barnes about the $5,000 bonus to the breeder, the first stakes winner by this solid Grade 1 stakes winner. Your inspection is invited. Just call the farm at 224-4584. And once again, ask for Kent Barnes. And see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Quillen Tack.
Ah, yes.
Your buddy, my buddy.
Yeah, Ralph Quillen hangs out a lot on Facebook, doesn't he? Eats out a lot. He'll let you know when he's at the farm. He had a picture up the other day of a calf. Something happened to a calf's leg, and he had it all wrapped up, I think, in about $50 worth of vet wrap. But it looked real happy.
I probably know where he picked up the vet wrap at a discount.
I wonder.
That's why you pick up your halters at a
discount.
Sir.
That's right. We're talking, of course, about Ralph Quillen out at Quillen Leather and Tack in Paris. It's straight in Paris. Don't take the bypass. Go up another light after the bypass. It's over there on the left. It's a wonderful tack shop. They have great leather goods. They make over 17,000 halters a year. I mean, that's
tremendous. They sell over 17,000 a year.
Well, that's true.
Except the ones over at Old Friends.
At Old Friends. Yeah, right, exactly. But they know what they're doing. And they're doing now a thing on their Facebook page where people write in and say, thank you so much. We enjoyed it, you know, putting up comments mm-hmm. from the...
Claiborne gets all their halters and things from them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just top-notch.
They send them all over the world.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the store hours Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and they're open right now till noon. If you want to go out, you can give them a call locally at 987-0215 or go online, www.quillin.com.
You can even get one of my CDs down there.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
Russell Reed's Joe Palmer.
Joe Palmer. You know, you forget about Joe for about a year, and then you pick up a book and read something and you think, how? That is so good.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I'm afraid that people are
not
losing
a speck
him.
Of dust on Joe Palmer. It's like no. It was yesterday. It's just unbelievable.
We bought one off of, where did we get it from?
eBay.
Was it eBay?
Oh, Amazon.
Amazon, yeah. Got one from Murray West, Dr. Murray West down in Paris. You know Murray?
Yes.
Yeah, he's great.
He's
yeah.
a wonderful guy.
He had never
guy.
Heard of Joe Palmer. And uh-oh. you know how much Murray loves racing.
Yeah, he writes poetry.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Great photographer.
And anyway, we got him one off of there. So, because I couldn't stand it, he hadn't read one, you know.
Oh, I thought you were still talking about your CD.
No.
Oh, you're talking about the book.
The okay. book.
I'm just checking. I thought book. You were buying your own CD on eBay.
Oh, funny.
No.
Oh,
funny. No.
Don't they make good doorstops?
They're fabulous. Yeah.
Fill
I like
up
that.
Your storage
I,
room.
I'm telling you, I really like those. And we've got to get some work for the store. I don't think we have any more in the gift shop.
Oh, well.
It's a bestseller. He's an icon, you know.
Joe Palmer.
Joe Palmer.
Ursula is Joe Palmer. Ursula fills out the exact.
Getting deep here, isn't it?
It really is.
Well, I'm going to head on up and have some fun and get
all
something
righty.
To eat and see all the guests. I think Lafitte Pink Eye's up there today at the Secretariat Festival
really?
And yeah. Ronnie Turcotte. And,
yeah. Miss Chenery was coming in.
Mm-hmm. And Kate, her daughter's there with their book on, that's a wonderful book on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. That was
If I get one cheap, I'll buy you one and bring it back.
When, swipe it. When Ursula interviewed her, it was all about the meadows and all that kind of stuff. He didn't go straight to Secretariat. He did all the other stuff.
Hardly talked about Secretariat.
And that was kind of fun.
Because everybody else talks to her about Secretariat.
Sure.
So I talked to her about First Landing and River Ridge and Cicada and those two great brood mares that he purchased, and you know, I mean, it was the kind of the foundations and everything.
Was something Royal his, or was that over? Was she over at Claybrook?
No.
Ursula's in the Wayback Machine now. I can hear it clicking in.
Something Royal was, yeah, Chenery had her.
Okay.
Yeah, of course, because he read it. But she was in Virginia.
She was never here.
Yeah.
I think that's what I asked in the first place.
The horse is a Virginia bred, you know, but
here.
Oh, well.
Man of War was.
See, all of a
Kentucky
sudden
bred.
It's diminished.
Yeah, Man of War was a Kentucky bred.
We have the best West Virginia breds.
Oh, you do?
Afternoon Delights.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I guess he would be. Yeah, he would be.
We're going to try and we're looking for the best Connecticut bread. It's not that hard. There's only two of them, I think.
We used to train for some lovely people.
Either one of them break their maiden?
I don't think so.
We used to train for some lovely people who she was in love with Man of War. And she went to
Man, they stood a son of Man of War.
Yeah, and they, anyway, she had about a dozen brood mares, and she said 10 of them out to Iowa. Was it to breed to some horse that was out there because he was
Missouri
number one sire in Missouri?
Wow,
that was
terrible. We had the number one sire at Old Friends in Massachusetts. His name is Leave Seattle. Lifetime earnings zero.
Okay, I'll get out of here.
Yeah, lifetime earnings zero.
Leading sire up.
Yes.
Gee whiz.
But he's got, because he has better great breeding. On paper, he looks great.
Hey, wait a minute.
It's like the buyer speed figures. You know, on paper, he looks fabulous.
Yeah.
He's a Seattle Slough. He's by Seattle Slough out of a Northern Dancer mare.
Wow, that does sound good, doesn't it?
Yeah, so he's got all of Northern Dancer's size, so he's tiny, and he has no talent.
No talent.
He raised three times in Hollywood Park. Now, you're thinking three times if they pay down a fifth. You might earn a dollar or two. Nope, zero. Absolute zero. And he had 77 instantly unwanted babies.
Oh, wow.
That's
terrible.
But they had that boosted up mass bred purses. So they were trying to get these mass breds going because they could race these horses that couldn't break their maiden for $5,000 claiming, and they'd be running for $50,000 twice a year.
And you've got this horse up there?
Yes.
You go over here.
You want to hear the whole story?
No.
It's a good story. It is a good story. Let me tell it really quick.
Yeah, tell that story.
I got a call from a woman up in Massachusetts several years ago, and she goes, and she was in tears, and she said, you know, Leave Seattle is in a bad situation. They put him in this auction where his future is uncertain. That's not exactly the way she put it, but that's pretty much what it was. And this was on a Wednesday, and Thursday was the auction. I said, and she said, will you take him? Well, at that time, we had some room. And I remember the horse, and I thought, this horse really does deserve retirement. And he's got a great story. So I said, okay, if you buy him, we'll take him. So she went on Thursday to the auction. She called me on Friday, and she goes, she's in tears again. And she says, they sold him outside the sale. He never came up to the auction. I said, well, that's a good sign, because that means he's not in danger. It means somebody bought him because they want to do something with him besides, you know, just send him to the killer. So
yeah.
I said, that's a good thing. So... And I was relieved, frankly, because, you know, of all the horses, you know, he had a good story, and I would have taken him and everything, but...
He ain't no precisionist.
No, he's no precisionist. That's exactly right. That should be the title of the Old Friends book. He's no precisionist. Anyway, 4.5 months later, I get a call from a woman at a neighboring farm named Kathleen Huth. You know Kathleen? She has a couple horses.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Hey, you take stallions over there, says Kathleen. I said, yeah, why? She goes, well, I got one over here. They dropped him off here about 4 months ago, and they haven't paid any bills. And I said, well, what's his name? And she goes, Leave Seattle.
That's hysterical.
And I said, okay, send him over. And that's how he got there.
Oh, so, funny. Did you ever call your friend back up that had called originally and tell her you got him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know she felt good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. She was all excited. She's been to visit him a couple times.
Oh, good.
And he does have some fans. He's got a couple of people that adopt him. I mean, I think he's raised like $10,000 for us. Selling shares in him. Yeah.
See, that's not a zero after his name.
No.
No.
There's several of our horses that are more in retirement than they did on the racetrack. Not Gulch and Precisionist and the Millionaires, but
that's
the
great.
Other ones.
Yeah. Mm. Fun.
Swan's Way. We have a horse named Swan's Way. He's a terrible horse. He raced till he was 15 and earned $63,000.
Yeah.
Well, that's not bad. I don't care.
13 years, $63,000. I did better than that.
I don't care. There's a whole lot of them don't even make it to the races.
I know, but 13 years. Do a little division.
He couldn't have raced for 11 years.
No, he raced 13 years.
He raced running when he was 14?
15.
My God, well, he deserved to be retired.
Exactly, that's what I thought. And I told my friend Leslie, now this is a good story too. Since you're going to be so sorry your other guest didn't show up. But this is another good story because we never talk about these guys because they're losers. But this guy, his name is Swan's Way, and he was at Suffolk Downs. And I got a call from Loretta, my trainer up there, and she goes, "You got to find a home for this horse. He raced till he was 15. He's all this, that. Beautiful son of smile. He's a good looking horse." But anyway, so his name was Swan's Way, and I didn't have any money. So I called my friend Leslie Epstein. Now, Leslie is a very interesting guy. He's a novelist and a short story writer. And his favorite book is Remembrance of Things Past, Marcel Proust's masterpiece. He reads it like my grandmother used to read the Bible. Every day he reads a little bit. Anyway, it's a wonderful book. And the main character is a guy named Charles Swan. Well, I kind of made this part up. I told him that the horse was named after Charles Swan.
Oh, funny.
You know, you got to do what you got to do.
That's right.
I didn't tell him that Swan's Way only had one end and Charles Swan had two ends. But anyway, so I called him up. I go, "Leslie, you got to help me." And he goes, "What is it?" And I tell him the story about how, this horse is named after Charles Swan, remembers the things past, and he's over at Suffolk Downs, and he needs to have a home. So he goes, "Well, what do I need to do?" I said, "Well, you need to get $500 in cash, drive over to the backside of Suffolk Downs, go to Barn 7, and give the $500 in cash to Carlos." And there's a long pause, and Leslie says, "What is this, a drug deal?" This is exactly what he says. So anyway, we end up getting the horse, we get the $500, he comes down. Now, the really great thing about Leslie, and he is one of my best friends, his father and grandfather were twin brothers, and they wrote over 50 movies for Warner Brothers, including Yankee Doodle Dandy and their masterpiece, Casablanca.
Oh, ooh, no,
that's his father and his uncle.
Oh, man.
And Leslie has three grown children. His son, Paul, is the head of suicide prevention among teenagers in Massachusetts. His daughter, Anya, is married to the actor Dan Futterman, and she was the head writer and producer of Homicide: Life on the Street.
Huh.
And his other son, Theo, Paul's twin brother, is the general manager of the Boston Red Sox. So I say to Leslie, "Don't take this the wrong way, but you're going to be an afterthought in your own obituary." He goes, "What do you mean?"
True.
I go, "Well, by the time they mention that your father wrote Casablanca,
right,
and your son brought the Red Sox their first World Series since 1918, they might
That's
get around
it.
To the fact that you're dead."
That's so good. Wow.
So that's Swan's Way, so you can come see Swan's Way. We had a guy come with Doug Wirt the other day. Doug works at the Jockey Club. And a friend of his was a former jockey came. And for some reason, he fell in love with Swan's Way. We sold him a share for $100 in Swan's Way.
That's great.
And, they just connect with the different horses.
Yeah, yeah. That's an outstanding couple of stories. I like that one about Casablanca.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
All these horses have great stories. That's
you didn't make
point.
That up.
No.
It's real.
You don't have to with these horses.
Yeah.
That's my favorite expression around the office. You can't make it up.
That's upright.
There's so much wacky stuff going on that this fiction's dead.
That's just great.
Well, I read a novel.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's what I always say.
No. Well, I'm going to go off to the Secretariat Festival. I know you'll miss me.
Right. We'll probably see you there later, depending
don't
on...
Don't hit yourself on the way out. I know.
Betsy's catching a cold, so I don't know if we can... We're going to try to make it anyway. But yeah, she was...
Wrap her up. Let's go. Hey, I got a blanket for her she can have. It's got Bonnie's poker on it.
Well, she'd love it.
Yeah.
She would love it.
Yeah. I'll bring it next Saturday.
That'd be wonderful. Yeah. Good.
Michael, thank you.
All right, Ursula, as usual, thank you so much. Jackie, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
A fabulous morning.
Have fun this afternoon.
We shall.
Save me some cotton candy.
See us when you get a chance. I got some Sam Adams in the garage, Ursula.
A hot dog.
Yeah, make him stay in the garage.
Well, U.S. Ranger was undefeated in 3 starts at 2. He was the champion 3-year-old of his year in Ireland and the champion again at 4. Along the way, he won stakes and placed in Group 1 stakes in France, placed in 2 group stakes in England, including a hit bobbing second in the Group 1 July Cup to Marchand d'Or, the top-rated sprinter in Europe. And in a brief appearance in this country, he placed in the Grade 3 Inglewood at Hollywood Park. U.S. Ranger is one of 201 stakes winners by the great sire Danzig, a list which includes many successful sires, including the world's leading sire stakes winners, Dane Hill, and the sensational young sire Warfront. U.S. Ranger's Dam, a daughter of the internationally successful Red Ransom by Roberto, is a three-quarter sister to Dynaformer, the sire of more than 120 stakes winners. It's a great sire pedigree. The first foals by U.S. Ranger are weanlings. He stands at Windstar Farm, home also of Artie Schiller, Bellamy Road, Bluegrass Cat, Colonel John, Distorted Humor, Holland's Holiday, Hold Me Back, Sprightstown, Spring at Last, Summer Bird, Super Saver, Tis Now. Inquiries to Robert Hammond and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Yeah, but I didn't do it. All righty. I hope I didn't mess you up down there, Mary Jane. I'm going to continue on with a couple more commercials, and then that'll kind of catch us up a little bit. You got to listen to Michael's stories. And
those were good stories.
Yeah, they were.
Excellent stories, yeah.
You might as well just not turn that off of them. Well, Patty Oprato, a grade one stakes winner, more than $1,721,000, is a recent addition to the growing ranks of stallion standing at Spencery Farm. Patty Oprato went out a winner in his only start of 2011. He won the grade two Dixie Handicap at Pimlico. The year before, he had been one of the nation's top ranked 3-year-olds. He won the grade one Secretariat Stakes, the grade two Virginia Derby, the grade two Colonial Turf Cup, the Grade 3 Palm Beach Stakes, placed in the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby, the Grade 1 Joe Hirsch Turf Classic Invitational, and the Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes, displaying the ability to perform at the highest level on grass, artificial, and dirt. Patty Oprato is one of 85 stakes winners by El Prado, a list which includes the top sires Medaglia d'Oro and Kitten's Joy, plus such recent stakes winners as Winter Memories, winner September 17th of the Grade 1 Garden City Stakes at Belmont, and Grassy, winner September 10th of the Grade 2 Bowling Green at Belmont. Patty Oprato, Dam, won graded stakes, and his first three dams are all graded stakes producers, so it's a solid family. Other new additions to the ranks of stallions at Spendthrift Farm are Grade 1 Stakes winner Arch by Arch, Grade 1 Stakes winner Court Vision by Gulch, Grade 1 Stakes winner Dublin by A Fleet Elix, and Grade 1 Stakes winner Tisway by Tis Now. For more information, contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, or Ned Toffey at 294-0030 and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FrisNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at FrisNet.com or call 859-223-4444.
I want to talk a little bit about my good friend Ron Wallace from Equine Farm Management. That's a firm that he formed way back in 1995. That's not too far back, is it? But 16 years ago.
95. It's yesterday.
Yeah, we were still training at that time. Well, Ron, of course, he's been in the horse business of all his life, got experience in management for farms like Judd Martin, Three Chimneys over in Woodford County, and, of course, Judd Martin over here in just on the southeast side of Lexington, I guess it would be. What he does with his firm, Equine Farm Management, he helps farm owners enjoy their horse farms by making them convenient to and functional, where it's easy to operate them. How would you say that, Jackie?
He takes all the kinks out of putting a farm together.
Well, yeah, but he'd start from scratch, or he could take your farm and make improvements for things will work just more smoothly.
Yeah, there's a lot more planning than just plunking down a barn here or there and roads. It takes a lot of, you get working around a barn, and the more well thought out it is, the easier job it is, and better it works all the way around.
Yeah, not only that, if you bought a farm and you haven't set it up yet, and you're planning on building on it, he knows who the best builders are around in this area. He knows where to get your staff, qualified staff, good people to work for you. You need a CPA, he knows that too. He knows where to, he knows the people that can help you. And that's a very, very important thing. And, well, for instance, he manages, still does, Chanticleer Farm. And, that farm, of course, was Prince Saud bin Khalid, and there he just passed away. And they're having a complete dispersal over Keeneland in November, and he's handling that. One of the things in that, Jackie, in that sale is a filly that won the Alabama this year, a filly named Royal Delta.
Really?
And so she's a grade one stakes winning filly with a great pedigree that's
wow.
going to be in that consignment. And I think she's supposed to go either in the Alabama next or hopefully she'll come here and run in the Spinster. But anyway, she's a really nice filly. Other farms, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about a great farm called Summer Wind Farm over in Scott County. Well, he helped set that the farm layout and development of that farm. And he's just somebody you can know that can really help you, and he's a great guy to do business with. Let me give you his website. It's equinefarmmanagement.com. His name's Ron Wallace, and his phone number is, it's an 859 number, and his cell phone number is 621-1655. Ron Wallace, Equine Farm Management.
Broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
I got the horse right.
All right, we're starting the second hour of Horse Tales. And
we are already.
We are already. And we don't have a guest this Saturday, because a guest pooped out on us right before the show, and
she must have listened to one.
And you can get them on the website.
Yes, UrsulaEllis.com. You can listen, you can download, and of course we are right now being live streamed around the WLXG.com around the world.
Yeah. A lot of suffering people over in Europe right now.
I know. They wake up in the middle of the night over there in China and listen to this. That's what I understand.
Oh.
It's part of their torture program.
Okay.
They're into torture.
They're
in
into
country.
Torture over there.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to start and do some announcements. You want me to start with that?
Yeah. Start. We saw old David the other night.
David who? Oh, David Schweitzer. Yeah. We sure did. Good guy, of course. So
yeah, Kentucky. Nice guy.
Kentucky, the KTA, and they sponsor this spot. I was telling him last night, I said, gee, I'm going to have to charge you more money. So some of these things go on forever.
I know.
What David wants us to do is to announce all the Kentucky bred stakes winners from the previous week. So sometimes it goes into two full legal pages full, but a little bit shorter this week. But well, here they are anyway. The Grade 1 Garden City Stakes at Belmont went to Winter Memories, who was trained by the bred by the Phillips Racing Partnership. The Grade 1 Woodbine Mile, True Allure, was bred by the 4D Stables. The Grade 2 Canadian Stakes, of course that's at Woodbine, Never Retreat won that, bred by couple of friends of mine, Jerry O'Meara and Stanley Inman. The Grade 3 Summer Stakes at Woodbine went to Finale. That's a colt from the first crop by Scat Daddy, who is, he's won two stakes in a row now. Well, first he won the stakes race over at Monmouth Park. And now this one, both of them around two turns, incidentally. And Susan Bunning bred Finale. The $400,000 Charlestown Oaks went to Strike the Moon. That's a Malibu Moon mare, who bred by R. Larry Johnson. The $100,000 Charlestown Juvenile Stakes went to Lemon Juice, bred by the Merrydale Farm Partners. The C.F. Applebaum Stakes at Fairplex was won by a two-year-old named Run, Stevie Run, who's from the first crop by Stevie Wonderboy, stands over at Airdrie Stud. This one bred by Sharon Udon and Rain Fitchner. Sharon's up here on the clocker stand with her husband, Ian, quite a bit. Jimmy Cargan trains for them.
Oh.
Nice people. California people, but they're nice anyway. The Franklin Simpson Mile at Kentucky Downs went to Cozy Kitten, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The Matron Stakes at Assiniboia went to Miss Victoriana, bred by the Modesta Racing Stable. The Pink Ribbon Stakes at Charlestown went to Don't Get Suspicious, bred by Dr. Gary Priest and Mr. J.D. Santon. The Queen Tutta Stakes at Belmont, In Step, bred by Payson Stud. And the John Musker Philly Stakes in Great Britain went to Principal Roll, which was bred and foaled in Kentucky by Judmont Farm. My good friend Garrett O'Rourke and his lovely bride, Rhonda.
And their gorgeous children.
And their two gorgeous daughters. Well, they look like Mama. Don't look like Garrett.
Okay, and of course today, right now, as we speak, it's the Secretariat Festival out in Paris in Bourbon County. That's not that far. You go straight out Paris Pike, which is North Broadway. And when you get to the high school, you turn left. Take the bypass all around till you either turn right or left or hit the fence. Make a right turn, drive down about, what, a couple hundred yards or feet and turn right. And you will be in there in the fairgrounds today. So go on out. It's running way up till 6, 7 o'clock tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to statistics released by the Jockey Club, two of the nation's top six second crop sires, congrats, and Silver Train, both stand at Vinery. Congrats, the son of AP Indy was the number one ranked freshman sire last year. Silver Train, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint and the Grade 1 Metropolitan and of over $1,259,000, was also a top 10 freshman sire last year. So you're invited to visit Vinery to inspect the stallions, a roster that also includes last year's leading sire two-year-olds, More Than Ready, and to see the Vinery facilities. The staff at Vinery Kentucky, Vinery Florida, and Vinery New York stands ready to assist you in every facet of the thoroughbred industry. Breaking, training, sales prep, sales, rehab, boarding, breeding. There's a resident bloodstock agent available. Plus, and this is important, a very successful racing partnership program. So give the folks over at Vinery a call, Vinery Kentucky, at 455-9388, and ask for, well, either John Gasper or Steve Castanola or Francis Relihan or Grant Williamson. They'll be glad to accommodate. And see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Well, last week at Fairplex, the CF Applebaum Stakes was won by Run Stevie Run, a two-year-old from the first crop by Stevie Wonderboy. Run Stevie Run is one of five winners from the first crop by Stevie Wonderboy. Katie Get Excited has won a maiden special at Woodbine. Minor Etranger has won a maiden special in Japan. Starship Flair has posted two wins and a second and three starts down at Calder. The last win came in an allowance company. And Sunny Superstition, after placing first time out at Hollywood Park, came back to win at Del Mar. Five others have placed, four in their very first starts. So Stevie Wonderboy now has five winners, five to place, and a stakes winner in his first crop. He signed runners as expected. Stevie Wonderboy was the champion two-year-old of his year. Won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile at the direct expense of Henny Hughes and First Samurai. Won the Grade 1 Del Mar for Tootie. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Check the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
I'm hitting.
Do you want to continue on, Jackie?
All right. Like I was saying, it's the Secretariat Festival this weekend in Bourbon County in Paris. Let's see, what time is it? 11 o'clock. It's in the middle of the Arabian Horse presentation. And then at 11:30, the Legacy of Secretariat, and they're going to have 11:45, all decked out miniature buggy contest. And then at noon, the Renegade Cowgirls Mounted Drill Team. Whew, that scares me. 12:45, the Miniature Horse Jumping Contest, followed by a 4-H Parade of Breeds and Mounted Pony Competitions. And Old Friends is at 2:20 again. And then Shetland Pony ASPC presentation. And then the Buffalo Trace Mounted Patrol and Gypsy Horses Rare Breed Demo. Then a miniature horse costume class. What would you do for a miniature horse in a costume class? What would you dress him up as?
Golly, I have no... Don't have that much imagination, I'm afraid.
That's it. Well, go out there at 3:40 and you shall see it. Then mounted pony competitions, and then those renegade cowgirls come back. That's... Don't get in their way, I bet you.
Renegade cowgirls?
That's what it said. You kind of liked that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I've known a couple of those in my time.
You wish. Yeah. And they're all 80.
At least. You had to remind me.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't stand it. Okie dokie. At the Horse Park, now through October 23rd, are the ancient bronzes of the Asian grasslands. And through the end of the year, saddlebreds and personalities from the silver screen. A lot of those, if you watch old movies, you see all kind of horses going by, and quite a number of them are saddlebreds. Those tails are in the air, and they're bouncing around. It's fun. Let's see. Now through December 1st, applications are being accepted for the Spring Professional Horseman's Course. This weekend is wrapping up the Kentucky National Hunter Jumper Show. Next weekend, well, it begins and it runs all week, is the Arabian and Half Arabian Sport Horse Nationals Jumpstart Horse Trials run next week, September 30th through October 2nd. That's the weekend. Then the saddlebreds come in. I don't know what October 5th through the 9th the National Drive is. I'm not sure what that is. October 7th through the 9th, Kentucky Proud Weekend. Oh, I'll tell you what, if you like to see people drive horses, that's October 6th and 9th, the Kentucky Classic Combined Drive Event. What I wanted to skip to, skip, is November, the first week in November. November 1st is the All-Tech National Horse Show Black Tie Gala for the Kentucky Equine Humane Center. Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what this is the National Horse Show, and it was the National Horse Show. Seriously national. It was in New York in Madison Square Gardens for years and years when I was a kid. That was the big wrap-up, the end-of-the-year horse show. And it fell on hard times. They hustled it around up east, different places, and it just sort of was on shaky legs. And now it's here at the horse park. Can't tell you what a big deal this is. It's like if the Derby sort of quit sooner or later and, you know, somebody revived it or something. I mean, that's that horse show was that big. So, and they're going to have a black tie gala for the Kentucky Equine Humane Center. How nice is that? So that's coming up the 1st of November. I just wanted to mention that. And then Snowbird Dressage will be out. It looks like she's going to be having Snowbird out at the horse park. So that's wonderful.
We're going to try to get Moody here in a minute. Okay, we'll do it then. All right, we'll do that. Well, last Saturday at Woodbine, the Grade 3 $200,000 in the Talma Stakes was won by Northern Passion, a 2-year-old filly by First Samurai. Northern Passion came from dead last in the field of 12 to win going away by a length and a quarter in what was just a third career start and first on turf. She won her career debut on Woodbine's Artificial, then was narrowly beaten in the $150,000 Ontario Damsel Stakes, also on Artificial. Her win in the Talma was a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. Now, Northern Passion is from the second crop by First Samurai. the sire of 4 stakes winners in his first crop. Grade 2 stakes winner in Grade 1 place, Justin Phillip. Grade 3 stakes winner, Let Me Go. Winner September 15th of an allowance race at Belmont. Stakes winner in graded stakes place, Swift Warrior. And multiple stakes winner, Trubbs. First Samurai won 2 Grade 1 stakes at 2. Won Grade 2 stakes at 3, earned over $915,000, and he's the son of the nation's leading sire, Giants Causeway. Stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquire to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Scat Daddy is the nation's number one ranked sire on the juvenile sire list. The victory finale in the Grade 3 Summer Stakes last Saturday moved him past Hardspun on the freshman sire list and past his stablemate, Taylor the Cat, on the juvenile sire list. He is the sire of 16 winners, 2 stakes winners, and 5 stakes horses in his first crop. Finale covered a mile and 135-2 in the Summer Stakes to post his second consecutive stakes win, coming off a victory in the Continental Mile Stakes at Monmouth Park. Scat Daddy is also the sire of the undefeated Shared Property, recent winner of the Grade 3 Arlington Washington Futurity. Force de la Nature, placed in the Grade 3 Schuylerville Stakes at Saratoga. Daddy Knows Best, placed in the finale in the Grade 3 Summer Stakes. And Mystic Mama, placed in the Junior Champion Stakes at Monmouth Park. Scat Daddy, number one on the juvenile sire list, number one on the freshman sire list, stands at Coomore's Ashford Stud, home also of the nation's leading sire, Giants Causeway. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coomore. Hey, I think I have Steve Moody with me now, and big day down at Turfway today, Steve.
Yeah, the Kentucky Cup day today, and got a pretty solid card down there, Ursula. It's not like the Travers at Saratoga, but it's a pretty good card.
Yeah. Well, the big one, of course, is the Windstar Kentucky Cup Grade 2, $200,000 worth, and many thanks, incidentally, and the industry owes Windstar Farm owes them many thanks for bringing this the series of races back, and these are people that what a great addition to the participants they are in the horse industry around here.
Right, yeah, they came in this year and got the thing going again. So yeah, they deserve a lot of praise, and you got a pretty well matched field in here. Baryshnikov probably go off the favorite in here, although I was a little suspect of him. I kind of think he's maybe had been tailing off just a little bit in his last couple of races. I liked him last time out at Saratoga, and I guess he didn't run all that bad, but I was looking for a little bit better effort than I got. I settled on the one horse near Ursel, Working for Hops. It's a gelding by City Zip. He made all the pace in the Washington Park Handicap that last time out up at Arlington, and looked like he had it won with a furlong left, but got a little bit tired and got caught late, ended up running second. But he does like the synthetic surface. He got 2 wins and second and third in 4 tries. And I think that he's got the speed. He can go to the front if he wants. If nobody wants to go, he'll certainly go. But if somebody is determined to go to the front, he can also rate. And I think that'll serve him well. And here he's breaks in the rail today, so he gets to save all the ground. And looked to take over when they turn into the stretch. The two-horse Strike Impact is another one that's is having a real good year for Pat Dupuy. It's a 7-year-old, real hard knocking horse, and he's been running pretty much on the turf lately, but he does have two wins at Turfway, and he's another one that can either he can run on the lead if you want, or he can run from off the pace. And he comes off three straight bullet works since his last start, and I think looks like he's definitely ready to go today. So I think he's one to take a look at a little bit of a price, 9-2 on the morning line. And then the three horse Shediac, I'm not sure what the pronunciation there is, but had a kind of a tough year last year, didn't have a win, but has bounced back this year and comes off of back-to-back wins at Del Mar for Ben Cecil. This one is pretty much a late runner. I expect him to settle well off of it early on, come charging late. Pat Valenzuela comes in to ride, so you have to think their connections are serious. You're going to bring the rider with them from California. So pretty well matched field in here, but we're going to give the edge to the one working for Hops, and we'll go we'll make it easy 1-2-3 in the in the Kentucky Cup Classic.
That's too easy. Who do you like in the Distaff?
The Distaff, that's the ninth race. I went for the one horse again, Ursula, Le Grand Balladora, she's back on the surface that she really likes. She's run at Turfway five times, and it's got three wins, a second and a third, and she won a stake at Turfway back in the winter spring meet, and she just missed winning the second one. She's pretty much of a late runner, and I think she should have an honest pace up there in front of her today. Corey Lannery's got the ride, and I think he'll have her running at the end. The five horse upper line, the favorite in here, 2-1, Maria's Mon filly that got of her six career wins, four of them have been on a synthetic surface. Ran into Beverly D last time out. Didn't run all that bad. The grade one company, she only got beat four lengths for all of it, and dropping in here into this grade three, she looks to be well spotted in here, and got tactical speed. I think she'll be right there when the field turns for home. The horse is a little bit of a price that I think could be part of it is the four, Bella Medaglia. And this is a filly by Medaglia d'Oro. In a little bit tough last time, drew the 12 post down at Ellis in the Gardenia. That's just like death down there. Mm-hmm. When you're going a mile at Ellis and you draw the 12, I mean, you've pretty much lost when they pull that pill out of the at the time at the draw, because it went in from the 12-0 going a mile at Ellis is nigh impossible. But she still managed to beat half the field in that race, and she was coming off a little bit of a layoff. So, she may have needed the race a little bit, and I think she'll move forward in here. The question is how she'll handle the surface at Turfway, but if she takes to it, I think you got to give her a chance. Jamie Terrio comes in to ride her, and like I said, 12-1 on the morning line, she's definitely worth a look in here. So we're going to go 1-5-4 in the Distaff.
All right, pair of ones there. All right, Steve. You going down today?
Turfway, no. I will be sitting here watching football.
You going to watch that game tonight?
Well, I'll probably start out watching. It may be a short night.
Yeah, I understand. Might turn into a track meet. Well, listen, we appreciate your help today. You have a good day, my friend.
All right, Ursula.
All right, thank you. It's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. And you can buy that wherever they sell that daily racing form. Well, First Defense is one of 13 Grade 1 stakes winners by Unbridled Song, a son of Classic winner and Classic Sire Unbridled. He's a Sire of Sires, of course. The Dam of First Defense is a Grade 1 stakes winner by the great Sire of Sires, Seattle Slough. And she's a half-sister to the Classic winner and successful Sire Empire Maker, and also to the top Sire, Chester House. This is the family of the brilliant Grade 1 stakes winner and Broodmare of the Year, Troussade. It's a pedigree brimming with successful sires and classic performances, a genetic masterpiece. Now add to the mix the fact that First Defense had brilliant speed. The day he won the Grade 1 four goal, he turned in early fractions of 44 and 3 and 108 and 2. Sprinted 7 furlongs and won 20 and change at Belmont, 122 and 1 at Churchill Downs. And his final time for the Grade 1 four goal at Saratoga was 121 and 2. He also won around 2 turns and won on grass and he won on dirt. First Defense was a superior runner. He lived up to his pedigree. Pedigree is also loaded with successful sires, and the quality of foals are a good indication that he'll live up to his pedigree there also. For more information, contact Gary O'Rourke or Aaron Fry at Judmont Farm and see the website judmont.com. Talk a little bit about my good friend Tom Biederman. And Jackie's always on that website looking at his properties over there, drooling a lot. He's got some great places for sale. One right over at Elizabeth Station that I believe they've marked it down a little bit, and it's a great location there. He just sold some property for a friend of mine, incidentally. And if you go to that website, it's BiedermanBrokerage.com, B-I-E-D-E-R-M-E-N, Brokerage.com. Got some great people working for him, Reggie Bushell and Joel Brown, Jonathan Knoll, Mike Morrison, Ryan Teeter, Brad Knoll, Broussard Huntley, that's Bruce's son, Ron, Joan Rich, Lisa Melling. I remember when it wasn't but about two of them over there, and the firm just keeps growing because they keep getting the job done. And if you're wanting to buy a good piece of property, well, Tom knows he's a horseman, and he knows what horsemen want, and he'd certainly be glad to help you. And if you want to list a place, well, you couldn't go a better direction than with Tom Biederman. His phone number is 277-2030, and go to that website. It's fun just to look at and drool some of the properties he's got for sale. A lot of it over there right close to me, incidentally, but you can overcome that. And anyway, that's BiedermanBrokerage.com. And another neighbor of mine is Jim Fitzgerald over at Knott Griffin Farm. And Jim is an Irishman, came up, I think he had his first horse when he was 2. They all do over there. Then he fox hunts. I think they're fox hunting today. It's the first day of fox hunting with the Woodford Hounds. He's a master at hounds. And he came up under some great people, Michael Osborne, and John Williams was managing Spendthrift when Jim went to work there. And then he worked for Lee Eaton. And those are top horsemen, believe me. And he learned his lessons well, been very successful in the business. He's owned Knott Griffin Farm over in Bourbon County for 17 years now. He owns another farm called Harper's Island, and they're not 10 minutes apart, incidentally. And neighbors of mine and great neighbors. So boring, sales prep, public and private sales, rehab, you name it, they can do. He's got quality help, and he can just give you some good, sound, common-sense advice. That's Jim Fitzgerald at Knott Griffin Farm at 987-8032. All right. Hey, Don Collins has dropped by just to bug me a little bit here. Don won a race last night.
I sure did. Got back this morning.
Get up close to this microphone.
Got back this morning about 1 o'clock. You don't mind it when you win. It's tough when you don't win.
This is, you went up to Hoosier.
Went up to Hoosier. You know, when we left here yesterday, it was pouring down rain. It was foggy, and I got to the front gate. I said, gee, I shouldn't go up there. I should call up and scratch this horse because it's just awful.
What was it like up there?
Well, we got up to Cincinnati. It was almost to Cincinnati. It was still terrible. We got on the other side of Cincinnati, and the sun came out. It was gorgeous.
No.
Beautiful. The pretty track was good. Everything was good.
That's a, I felt that's a 7.5 furlong track. Or 7 furlong track, it's not a mile.
It probably is close.
You're awful long way.
Probably 7.5. Probably it's probably 7. I don't know exactly, but it's
just
probably,
scoot your chair up.
Probably
you?
7.5.
Can you scoot it?
Now, how's that? That better?
That's
now,
good.
Can you hear me now?
You sound like a professional.
I bet I do. But it's always, I know, the horse that I ran last night, I bred her. And
I was going to ask you that.
I bred her and a trainer and owner and everything. I wish somebody else owned her, but... You know, that's I started out with one broodmare a few years ago. I did this a few, it was about 10 or 15, 25 years ago. I had a mare. First thing you know, I had a whole herd of horses, all with the same horses. Now this mare, she's a really nice mare. She's by Mr. Greeley and a lovely mare. Now I have a...
The one that you won with
the yesterday? The one I won with yesterday is her first foal. I have a 3-year-old up at the barn by Monarcos that I haven't run yet. I have a 2-year-old by Monarcos.
Is that Gray Philly bringing out there? Is
that's
that a Monarcos?
And that's
she's a pretty filly.
She is pretty, and she's training well. She worked well yesterday. Went in 49 yesterday. That was pretty good work yesterday
on
that old, heavy track. But she's coming back and doing really well. And she had some time off early on. She did something to her back, and I gave her 3 months off from the road back, and she seems to be fine. Her mother's in foal now to Flashy Bull.
Oh, he's hitting too. That's good. How'd you pick him?
I didn't pick him. Brereton did.
Oh, Brereton did.
Brereton did. I went down to, I bred last year.
Are you breeding on the shares with him?
I am with this one, yes. First time I ever done it.
You couldn't be in with a better guy.
Oh, I'm with the tops.
Yeah.
But last year I went down there and I didn't know what to breed to. And he had a horse he just brought back from Florida called the Daddy. So I bred to the Daddy. And I had the prettiest weanling by the Daddy you ever looked at.
Let me tell you something about the Daddy. That horse, like you say, he went down to Florida.
Uh-huh.
He got shopped around a little bit.
Right.
They didn't breed a whole lot of mares to him or anything, you know. But if you look up his race record and then you look up the ones that he sired, they're running.
I think he won the Super Derby and things like that.
He
could run.
First time around, I don't think he was. Was he ever beaten? Maybe he lost his first start.
I know, but he won several races and he could run.
Yeah, he could really run, and he's siren runners.
I tell you what, the filly I have is this nice-looking. I've never seen a better-looking baby.
Is she a yearling now?
She's a weanling.
A weanling.
Matter of fact, I need to wean her this month. She was born in March, and I haven't weaned her yet, but I've got...
She's big as mama by now.
Oh, she's big. She's beautiful, though. She's really pretty. She really is good-looking.
Yeah, well, the Flashy Bull you've got, that's...
Well,
she's a pretty filly.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to... That Flashy Bull to breed to him, but you know he hadn't even started nothing started running when I bred her.
Yeah,
in the spring, and that's really lucky.
He's got a pair of stake tuners now already.
Yeah, I looked at the last blood horse I had a couple of weeks ago. He was leading in every category. I mean that's pretty that's really good. I mean
yeah, well he's right up there in the top five freshman size
now.
But he's got something that's running out on the west coast out there that's a colt. Trying to think of his name. Bullish something. Anyway, he's undefeated.
Well, they
he's
really,
4 for 4.
And they've been selling really well. They've been
selling. That's because they look good.
They're beautiful. I know I was at the sale at Faxe at Tipton, and one at Brereton had sold as a weanling last year. Sold for, I think, $14,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought it back six months later, and so these people sold it in Faxe at Tipton for $220,000.
Yeah.
Ooh. And that's nice.
Ooh, Brereton, did you hear that?
Yeah, he was out there. He knew it, but he was happy.
Squirming a little bit.
But he was happy. You know, he's
of course
happy.
He was.
And the horse was a grand-looking animal, so... Anyway, but they're doing great, and I hope this one, you know, my mare is really a nice mare by Mr. Greeley, and they do pretty well, so hopefully that'll be something good.
Is Don's Prophet a colt?
It's filly.
It's a filly. Why come you name it Don? Well, of course,
well,
Don's.
No, not after me, but Donnerell Court and then Turner Prophet's her dam.
Oh,
Don's
okay.
Don's Prophet. That's how it got. That wasn't after me, it was after sire and dam.
Now, let me ask you this. How come there's two T's in Prophet?
Because that's the way the guy spelled his name.
Oh, okay. All right. Of course, you know me. I'm thinking dollars
that's,
and
that's
cents.
That's
what
he spelled the name. He named the Turner Prophet, and he was a, and so that's how she got her name. And that's it. I just used the same name.
Yeah,
I just took the Don's.
Well, who'd you breed her to this year?
I bred her to Flashy Bull.
Bred her back to Flashy Bull?
No, the first time to Flashy Bull. I've got a weanling by the daddy, and she's in foal to Flashy Bull.
Back in foal.
Yeah, she's in foal now to Flashy Bull.
And then the gray filly that you got to...
It's by Mandarcos. She's a three-year-old.
Yeah.
She got hurt, and I didn't had a little injury behind, and I turned her out. But I do have a two-year-old by Mandarcos, a full brother to her.
Okay.
Now, he just looks like the dam. And I'm running a little bit behind with him. I got too many horses in training. I'm just trying to figure out which one comes in next.
That's because you're getting lazy. You've had a whole bunch of horses in your time. I won't say you're getting old, Don.
But no, yeah, I probably am. But they're getting more expensive to keep.
Well, that's true.
Of course, that one last night didn't make much money, but it'll help a little bit. At least I can last another month.
It's all yours.
It's all mine.
Yeah. Yeah, bred, raised, and trained. Those are the most satisfying ones.
You know, I've won several nice stakes that I really get excited about. But I don't. Anytime I run a horse, for $5,000, for $50, or stake, I always get the same feel. I feel the same happiness about satisfaction from it.
Yeah,
you always do. I think you always do. Yeah,
but one that's that you bred, owned, and trained doesn't get any better than that.
No,
really.
that's the whole nine yards.
It's either they do good or it's all your fault.
Yeah. I've got her down there pretty low. That's probably my fault, but anyway.
Well, you run them where they can win.
Well, I run where they can win. If somebody else wants them, they can have them, but I'm going to run them where they can win.
They had five winners out here last night.
Did they really?
You had the only winner at Hoosier.
At Hoosier.
Yeah, we had two winners at Mountaineer and two winners at Turfway.
They're winning up a storm from out here. They really, I mean, the horses train well out here, and they do well. They run well off of here.
It's a good track.
It's a good track to train. They keep it up very well. They do a great job, and I really like it. I used to be at Keeneland. I switched from Keeneland out here several years ago, back in the late 90s, and I've been here ever since.
Yeah. Were you over on Rice Road?
No. One year I was up at Johnny Ward's barn, and I had some horses out there, and I looked after some horses for him, and another one was... another time I was just during the summer. I trained when they first put in the all weather track.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the train track. I trained out there that summer.
Okay.
Then I came back out here.
I see.
But I liked the training track at that time. It was good for some things.
I mean,
had some horses with some feet problem.
Well, you don't have to put up with the slop, like you do here. But we had about 40 workers out here this morning.
Well, went ahead and worked yesterday, and of course I'd rather have it sloppy than have it muddy and drying out. But they worked well. She came back well, and it was okay. I mean, you just have to choose your spots sometimes. And usually I try to wait till it suits me, but sometimes you sort of have to go on if you want to keep moving. But and as long as it's safe, I try to do it right after the break or something. I usually do.
Yeah.
And it works out.
You were up there in barn 30.
Great barn, super barn.
Yeah. Yeah, that's well. Good thing about that barn is you can jog in that.
You can jog in the wintertime bad or the weather's real bad. We just jog, and the school's up there too. I always enjoy being around the kids.
That's fun.
It is fun. And Chris does a great job with them, and they're nice kids. I mean, you watch them from when they first come in, and some of them have had experience riding horses or show horses or hunters or jumpers.
Yeah.
Or a family horse, but they're fun to watch.
Yeah. A lot of cute little girls,
they're
too.
Really cute. They're really cute little girls. Yep. They're really nice, too. They're a nice bunch of kids.
Yeah, I tell you, the kid that we really got very fond of, well, there's been several of them, but Adam.
Oh, yeah, Adam.
Adam.
He just went, I think it was to Pennsylvania. I think he went to Park.
He's up there. He had two mounts yesterday.
Did he? Yeah. I know he won with
his
first. No, it's
today, I think.
Today. He won with his first mount up the road somewhere. I don't know where he is. The first mount, whenever he rode, his first horse he rode won. That little girl did, too. What's her name?
Apana?
No, not Apana. The other one that lives up near Turfway. She won with her first mount. Oh, geez.
Well, he didn't win with his first one.
He didn't win with his first one.
No,
I know
no.
She did. I'm trying to think which one that was.
Natalie?
Natalie won with her first match.
Well, now she finished second with the first one and came back and won.
No, she won and came back and finished second with the next one.
Is that the way it was?
Mm-hmm.
There's a picture of it right over here on the wall.
She won with her very first mount and came back the same day and ran with second with the horse.
Going to bed?
Yep. Yeah. That's just what they told me up there at the barn. Now, okay. I didn't see either one of them, but that's what they told me. That's what she told me.
Whoops, I got to take a little break here. Let's see where we are.
I thought you were going home.
What is all this? Oh, I see. Well, he won the Breeders' Cup Mile and won 33-1. He won the Grade 1 Don Handicap on the dirt at Gulfstream. He won the Windy Sands Handicap at Del Mar. He earned $1,328,230. His sire earned over $3 million, and his sire two millionaires. His dam won nearly $100,000, and his by sire sire's 49er. His second dam won Grade 1 stakes, produced champion and Grade 1 stakes winner King Charlemagne, Group 3 stakes winner Mashahia, and his grand dam of Here Comes Ben, winner of the Grade 1 four-goal at Saratoga. His name, Albertus Maximus, and his stud fee for 2012, free to approve mares. And be sure to ask stallion manager Ken Barnes at Shadwell Farm about the $5,000 bonus to the breeder of the first stakes winner by this solid Grade 1 stakes winner. Your inspection is invited. Just call the farm at 224-4584 and once again, ask for Ken Barnes. And see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
This fall, make some money at the races. Turf Catering is now hiring servers, cashiers, cooks, and other positions for the Keeneland Fall Meet. For an immediate interview, attend the Turf Catering Job Fair on Tuesday, September 20th from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center at the Man of War and Versailles Road entrance across from the airport. For more information, call Turf Catering at 253-0541. Attend the Turf Catering Job Fair Tuesday, September 20th from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center.
Well, last Sunday at Belmont, the great $300,000 noble damsel was won by Unbridled Humor, a four-year-old filly by Distorted Humor. Unbridled Humor dominated the field, winning under a confident hand ride to post her fifth win and second stakes win from six starts. She is one of 17 2011 stakes winners, seven of them graded stakes winners by Distorted Humor. Distorted Humor currently ranks fifth on the North American sire list, including this year. He's ranked among the top six on the sire list six times. Three times he was number two. He holds the unique distinction of having sired winners of all three of the Triple Crown races. Distorted Humor stands at Windstar Farm, home also of his graded stakes winning son, Sharp Humor, a leading freshman sire in 2010. In fact, Sharp Humor was the leading Kentucky-based sire of two-year-old winners last year with 24. To date, he's had 13 stakes horses in his first crop. For more information about the Windstar Stallions, call Robert Hammond at 873-1717 and check the website at windstarfarm.com.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, this guy says the horse can do.
Ready? We're talking about the porta potty here. So it smells like gasoline, so be careful. Don't light any matches when you go in there.
Woo.
I was in that thing one day when lightning struck close by, and boy, I thought I was a dead man. I thought, what a way to go. Dying in the porta potty.
Didn't we have a dog got run over once by a muck wagon?
It was a cat.
Oh, it was a cat?
Yeah.
What a way to go.
Well, it was she was about 17, 18 years old.
She could have at least waited for the vet's Mercedes.
Poor old cat. Anyway, but I didn't know she was under the... I was in...
You were backing it up or something.
Yeah, I was... And rolled right over. What a way to go.
What a way to go.
All right, Jackie, you want to do something there?
Okay, next Friday, September 30th, I believe. Yes, at 6 o'clock at the Red Mile, it is the Thoroughbred Farm Manager's Premier Event, honoring Farm Manager of the Year, Sandy Hatfield. A sit-down meal, evening of memorable, whatever. It's going to be fun. I absolutely am. We're going because, you know, we just love Sandy. She's just terrific. So, go to info@ktfmc.org, which is their, KTFMC is the website for Thoroughbred Farm Managers. Okay, here's an oddish one. They're having a trail ride Saturday, October the 1st. The only reason I say this, it's at the A.J. Jolly Park. It's in Campbell County. It's in the southern part of Campbell County. It's a real nice park to ride on. You register at 9 to 11. The ride starts at 11. And if you take the interstate, it's not very far. It's on US 27 heading south, but if you get to Alexandria, it's just south of Alexandria. So it's 859-886-0920 or ACTHA.US. Act Ha US. So, all right, here's a fun one. Kathy Murphy, we all love, just wonderful girl. She is having a hunter pace at her place out in Iroquois Hunt Country, October 23rd. It's at noon on Sunday, October 23rd. I get directions, I guess, later and more information, but I just got that email. I thought that was good. Joyce Brinsfield, her Valley High Classic Horse Show is October 8th and 9th. That's at her place down in Woodford County. You go down toward Versailles and take the Bluegrass Parkway and get off the first exit. That's Route 33. Turn left. Go down to a fork in the road and turn left again. And there you are. So she's a great girl. And she's now the hunter seat coach for the college, Midway College. Bluegrass Farm Charities having a hard boots and high heel Racino Friday, October 7th at the Marriott Griffin Gate here in Lexington. Walt Robertson's going to be the auctioneer. Steve Castagnola is going to be the MC. You're supposed to wear dressy clothes. Boy, that's a stinker. Opens at 6, dinner and live auction at 6:30. Gaming from 8 to 11. It's $100 a person. Bluegrass Farm Charity does a lot of good, really good stuff. Interesting, nifty, silent, and live auction things. Manhattan Trip 4-2 with Belmont VIP Day at the Races for 6. Mm. Yeah, there's some really nice stuff. Las Vegas Getaway. I meant to tell Matt Howard. Las Vegas Getaway with tickets to the National Rodeo Finals. E-haw. So, 3 Keeneland packages. A lot of good stuff. Okay, Masterson Equestrian Trust tomorrow at 2 o'clock, volunteer work party at Masterson. Park near the Hunter Jumper Ring lot, and you get a free gift from Wise Choice, and they're going to have prizes and drawings and stuff. Masterson is a gem. We have to take care of it. It's just brilliant that we have a place. There aren't many towns in the United States, anywhere, that you can just load your horse up and drag over there. And they've got cross-country jumps. They've got dressage rings, hunter jumper rings, all kind of stuff. It's just beautiful. And the Masterson Equestrian Trust keeps it in tip-top shape. So, okay, TOBA's 50th anniversary, by the way. They're having a pedigree and confirmation clinic Monday and Tuesday. That's October 10th and 11th here in Lexington. It includes 2 farm tours. Pedigrees in topics include inbreeding, line breeding, outcrossing, nicking, and more. Confirmation topics. ID common confirmation traits and flaws. And here comes Scooter. So anyway, if you're interested, go to You might send your owners this. This is a good thing for owners, new owners. TOBA, TOBA.org. Gallery B is having an exhibit of plain air painters. These are people that go out in the air and just paint, and it's their yard. It's beautiful stuff. Through October 1st, several of my friends have things in there. Yvonne Todd, Marilyn Sadler, and the stuff's just pretty. So that's kind of fun thing to go downtown and see. My friend Peggy Manis, her photography studio, Downtown Midway, which is all one block long. Her number is 846-9343. She takes great pictures. She does most of the pictures for the Woodford Humane Society calendar, which is just terrific. Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 5, or you can go to manusphotography.com and check out her work. And she has what she calls a hunt box. Got a lot of new used hunt tack and coat, etc. So you might want to check that out.
Well, Patty Oprato, a grade one stakes winner of more than $1,721,000. He's a recent addition to the growing ranks of stallions over at Spendthrift Farm. Patty Oprato won out a winner in his only start. In 2011, he won the grade two Dixie handicap at Pimlico. The year before, he had been one of the nation's top-ranked 3-year-olds. Won the grade one Secretariat, the grade two Virginia Derby, the Grade 2 Colonial Turf Cup, the Grade 3 Palm Beach Stakes, placed in the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby, the Grade 1 Joe Hirsch Turf Invitational, the Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes, and displayed the ability to perform at the highest level on grass, artificial, and dirt. Paddy El Prado is one of 85 stakes winners by El Prado, a list that includes such top sires as Medaglia d'Oro and Kitten's Joy. Plus, such recent stakes winners as Winter Memories, winner September 17th of the Grade 1 Garden City at Belmont, and Grassy, winner September 10th of the Grade 2 Bowling Green, also at Belmont. Paddy El Prado's dam won graded stakes, and his first three dams were all graded stakes producers, so it's a solid family. Other new additions to the ranks of stallions at Spendthrift are Grade 1 Stakes winner Arch, Arch, Arch by Arch, Grade 1 Stakes winner Court Vision by Gulch, Grade 1 Stakes winner Dublin by Fleet Alex, and Grade 1 Stakes winner Tisway by Tisnow. For more information, contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, or Ned Toffee, 294-0030. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
Thinking of my folks and friends, sunny southern skies.
All righty. Got a few minutes here. Not very many, but anyway, I want to look at... they're running the Gallon Bloom Handicap Grade 2 race up at Belmont today. Phyllis Mayer's going 6.5 furlongs. Of course, Gallon Bloom was a foal of 66. He was a champion three-year-old filly of 1969 by Gallant Man out of Multiflora by Bomax, bred and owned by the King Ranch. She was trained at two by Max Hurst, and then Buddy Hurst trained her as a three-year-old. Ran 10 times as a two-year-old. Won her first time out by 9 lengths in March 26 at Belmont. Won the National Stallion Stakes, the Philly division, of course. And her second start, that was toward the end of June at Belmont. Then she ran out of the money in her next three starts, an allowance race, the sorority at Monmouth, and a spinaway. On the 30th of August, she won an allowance race, going 6 furlongs at Aqueduct. Then she won the matron at Aqueduct. On the 5th of October, she got beat a neck by Chuvie in the 1 mile frisette. And then 25 days later, she was sent over to Garden State and won a prep race there for the Gardenia, which she won, led all the way and beat Chuvie by a length and a half. She was undefeated at 3 in 8 starts, although she did run second in the Delaware Oaks, but the winner, a filly named Pit Bunny, who I think was by Pet Bully, but excuse me, I'm guessing there. She was disqualified for fouling Gallant Bloom and moved Gallant Bloom up to first. Then in the first start of the year, that year, she won the Liberty Bell Stakes, which was not at Liberty Bell, but was at Aqueduct. She won by just a nose over Clem's Ferry Goal. She won the next three races. The first one was at allowance race at Monmouth over Golden R, going a mile and 70 yards. She won the Post-Deb Stakes, going a mile and 70 yards, beating Process Shot. Golden Aura in third. Then she won the Monmouth Oaks, going a mile and eighth, by 12 lengths from Hail to Patsy, his daughter Hail to Reason. On July the 26th, she was in the Delaware Oaks. That was when she finished second to Pit Bunny, who was disqualified. And then August 30th, she won the Gazelle by 3.5 lengths, carrying 127 pounds and beating Pit Bunny, who was in with 116. Chuvie was also in with 127 pounds. She won the Matchmaker at Atlantic City by 7, beating Gamely. And they sent her to Keeneland for the Spinster, and only 4 starters that day, and there was no wagering. And she won by a couple of lengths over Miss Rebo and Sales Day. She only ran 4 times as a 4-year-old. She won the first 2, won the Santa Maria Handicap at Santa Anita under 126 pounds, beating Commissary under 117. In tipping time, 117, she won the Santa Margarita Invitational under 129 pounds, beating Commissary 116. And then sent her to New York, and she ran against older horses there and didn't do very well. They put in the Nassau County Handicap, and she did run third. A reviewer won that. And Dewan was second, 2 sons of Bold Ruler. And then been out of the money in the Suburban Handicap. Career-wise, she started 22 times, had 16 wins, a second and a third, and earned over $535,000, which was pretty good money back in the 69. That was the first year I got to vote in the Eclipse Award. Well, they didn't have Eclipse Award voting there. For champion three-year-olds, for I got to vote that year. And Charlie Hatton and I both voted. We had the only two votes for Majestic Prince. Everybody else voted for Arts and Letters, who got it, of course.
Yeah.
So Charlie and I were out of step.
Evidently.
And of course, she was a champion three-year-old filly that year. What you got in your hand?
Next week, the show is on from 8 until 10. And, of course, this show will go up on UrsaWellis.com when I get home and put it up. And these shows are streamed live, WLXG.com. So next week, if you miss it from 8 to 10, it'll be on UrsaWellis.com. And you can always listen live on WLXG. All over the world, wherever you go. All those Chinese sleep... it's the favorite show of Chinese insomniacs, they tell me.
all those suicidal... commies over there. All right. Well, since last week's show, we have had 11 winners. And they were saddled by Jacob Klaibs. That's Gene's son. Adolfo Marcias, who everybody calls Lucas for some reason or another. I haven't figured that out, but he answers to it. John Gaber, Is he the fourth or the third? I think he's the third. All those Gaber's trained horses, though. He won with High Alpine down in Kentucky Downs. Tommy Mills, Jim Dodgen, Oscar Modica, Alan Krupper. Well, five winners last night, starting with Alan Klupper. He won at Turfway. And Amalio Paul Garcia won at Turfway. Jimmy Cargan won another one at with More Than Noble down in Mountaineer. Mark Hubley won another one down in Mountaineer. And Don Combs, who just was kind enough to stop by just a few minutes ago, bred with his one with his homebred down at Hoosier last night. Said he got back 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
Remember when we got back about 1 o'clock in the morning from Turfway one night and that skunk was in the shed row over there and it was dark and I thought it was just a cat and pushed it aside with my foot. And I don't know. He didn't nail me, but anyway.
No. It was pretty scary. What we finally did, we put the horse up and then we turned out the lights at the one end. And yeah, turned the light on at the other end so it went out.
Yeah.
However you do that.
I don't think he was a grown skunk or he would have known.
It was in an awful good mood for a skunk.
Yeah, well, once again, tomorrow, next week, we're on from 8 to 10. And thanks for listening today.